Welcome back to WNST in Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're not Towson. We're in 21228. We're in Catonsville at State Fair. I would show you the chicken and waffles, but they're gone.
What a surprise.
We're a little bit short. You have an event.
Where did the chicken and waffles go?
In my belly.
Councilman Bill Henry's off to a press conference about jobs?
Yeah. Unite Here, Local 7, is holding a job fair this morning at 11. Actually, it's all day from 11 o'clock to 5 o'clock down at Orioles Park, Camden Yards. If you're interested in a job, especially in the hospitality field, please come on down.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Real quick, we like to talk to folks, Councilman, when we have them. That how, you know, here you are. You're a loyal Don. You're a Don forever. I used to say I was around. Spent a lot of my working career next to Jim Smith, one of those men for other guys.
Were you 86?
You guys believe in this men for others. But how does Bill Henry, the young guy growing up around Baltimore, ends up a Loyola Don? How does he end up somebody who cares about public service and really believes in his city in a way to give back? Let the voters know and the people driving the cars. Who are you?
Not to sound too hokey, but this is the family that I grew up in. My mom's family, my mom's parents were a doctor and his nurse in a little town in Pennsylvania. And my dad's parents were both reverends in the AME church. And so I literally come from a family where it's sort of baked into our DNA to take care of people, body and soul. And my parents met when my dad was running a tutorial project in East Baltimore. And my mom was one of the college students that he recruited. Early 60s.
Okay.
He was getting college students from Loyola and Notre Dame and Hopkins to come over to East Baltimore and be tutors for young kids. Kids who grew up to be leaders in East Baltimore, like Carl Stokes and Jack Young and Robert Stokes. You know, they participated in this tutorial project. And
you didn't mention a Carl Stokes, another Loyola.
Ralph Moore, you know, another Don.
Nobody from Calvert Hall watched.
I'm trying really hard not to bite at that one. Okay, so I grew up in a house where my mom was a big reformed hippie. I don't know how there's
I
probably
like her already.
There's probably a nicer way to say that. But she really believed in saving the world, and my dad was a big believer in save the world, but start with the part right around you. He was part of a group that had worked in the civil rights movement in the 60s, and then from that moved into trying to fix the system from inside. More than protesting on the outside, they went into politics. And in 1966, he was part of a ticket that ran for state senate and House of Delegates and Central Committee. And everybody, he ran for the House of Delegates, and every single person on that ticket won, except for my dad, who got beat out by a young carpetbagger from the Eastern Shore named Paul Sarbanes.
Wow.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. We had his son on a few weeks ago.
But my dad found that while he didn't like being a candidate, he liked campaigns. So he spent my childhood running the campaigns for, you know, the rest of his friends, mostly in East Baltimore, but some citywide campaigns as well. So I grew up.
And who did he campaign for? Some names?
Oh, Carl Stokes,
sure.
Nathan Irby. He ran Bob Pascal's gubernatorial campaign.
Okay.
The senator, there's a U.S. senator from out in Western Maryland, Mac Mathias. He ran the Baltimore campaign for Mathias.
When
there were actually moderate Republicans. So my dad was not, you know, so overly partisan that he wouldn't work for a good person.
So this is part of your DNA.
I grew up seeing people in local office as just another job that you could do. It's like, you know, like if you grow up and your parents' friends are, you know, a doctor or a mailman or, you know, an engineer, you grow up
knowing that's
a job. That's a job you can do. And so I grew up knowing that this was just a job that, you know, anybody can do if they can convince enough of other people that they'd be better at it than anyone else. And then I got involved in community activity when I was a college student. And from there, I went to work first for Ben Cardin when he was the congressman for my part of the city. And then I went to work for Mary Pat Clark when she was council president. And
you had some pretty good teachers along the way.
I have been very fortunate to work for some of the smartest and most committed people to the people of Baltimore and Maryland. And that's why I do this, because I live here too, and I want Baltimore to be as great as it can be.
Nestor, that's your you tell it almost every show, and I love it. I heard the councilman say, because I live here. What's Bullock say about the pig and the
chicken and the pig, right? Well, we have breakfast here at State Fair, right? You know, the chicken's involved in the meal, but the pig's committed.
Pig's committed.
Yeah, so
right?
you live here.
Well, so when we talk about control, we talk about money and your desire for this gig.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a citizen. I don't think our money's being spent well, and I don't know much about looking things up on the internet and what is transparent and what isn't. I know that Kathy Pugh stole all this money out from underneath of everybody, and everybody's running for cover. I know that the perception of my town, and I just spent 10 days in Miami, when I wear my Baltimore Positive stuff, they pray for me and pray for my safety and all that. We live here. It's up to
you.
Us.
Love it here.
We have to change it, though. We as the citizens, not even Don so much as Catonsville, although I think Don and Johnny O, and we're about to have Stewart on from Anne Arundel County. We're about to have Barry on from Harford. We've invited Larry Ogan on. But
you made a good point earlier when you talked about how everything changed after Freddie Gray and the riots in 15.
Sure.
Is before 15... One of the things that I saw as somebody who's really paid attention to politics their whole life, before 15, it was really, really, really hard to beat an incumbent. The advantage of incumbency in Baltimore was if you had not had a scandal, mm-hmm. if you had not publicly screwed
up, you kept your job.
You were probably going to get reelected. But since 15, that was the point at which people said, you know what, we need to be doing things differently.
No moss.
And well, you certainly saw that on the city council,
we
right?
We turned over most of the city council in 2016, and then in 2018, we turned over almost the entire Senate delegation.
Well, what are they finding? What are the new council people finding that you may have thought was a mess 10 years ago, right? But what are they going to find?
Well, one of the things they're finding is that Baltimore's budget priorities are probably not in line with what the people of Baltimore really
Example.
Want to see.
What do the people of Baltimore? I love that. What do the people of Baltimore want to see?
People,
you've been out there talking.
The people
to them.
Of Baltimore want to see more investment in kids. And,
love that.
And it's not just. I don't just mean we need to put more money into schools and we need to make our schools better.
Get the squeegee boys off the street.
Invest into kids. Make certain that kids have opportunities, meaningful things to do with their time, paths to opportunity. Because at the end of the day, I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of people that I work closely with in the police department who I respect the hell out of. I look at the crime reports and I read the texts that I get, and I can't imagine why some of them are willing to do a job that is this hard. Although I've had people question me about the same thing. And I'm like, but this, my job is easy compared to running down a dark alley, you know, with a guy who might have a gun. We spend over $500 million a year on the police department. And it's not because we have to. We do that because we've just sort of been on that track and we've never gotten off of it. The police department isn't about keeping crime from happening. It's about deterrence is a little bit different. It's like the police are really good at making sure crime doesn't happen here. But it doesn't prevent the desire to commit the crime. If there are people out there who are committing crimes because they don't have any other resources, they don't have any other way to get the money that they need to feed the addiction that they have, they don't have any other way to pay for wherever they're staying, if they can't get another way of doing things.
Desperate citizens are bad for everybody.
Desperate people,
right?
Are going to commit,
that is crimes. Terrorism, right? Literally.
If you invest in kids at the front end, then they don't grow up to be in that situation.
You are preaching to the choir. A couple things came back. Well, I think of Commissioner Harrison when he joined us, and I thought he was really impressive. And he said to Nestor and me, got to remember, so what you just said, he said it a little differently. The commission of that crime doesn't start at the point that right. crime's committed. Right. It started way earlier than that. Right. And Nestor and I have been saying for months now, when you talk about investing in kids, we see the data on safe streets. Mm-hmm. We know that in those safe street zones, crime is significantly reduced, including homicides. We know that threat is now...
There's a model.
I was using 500 and some. I think I've seen recent data that threat's now up to having transformed 700 lives. Mm-hmm. So if we know groups like Thread and Safe Streets are making a difference, this goes back to your point and to the commissioner's point. The commission of the crime starts much earlier. Let's invest in these things.
I have served now with 5 police commissioners. And that's actual police commissioners, not counting the acting ones in
between.
I have served with 5 police commissioners. Every single one of them is, is willing to admit, or has been willing to admit, that youth development is public safety. It is not something that is
absolutely
in competition with public safety for resources. It is public safety.
It is the solution.
But it's never going to be a police commissioner's role
to make the schools better.
To say, don't give me this much money. Take back $100 million of this and use it to invest in the fact that last summer or last fall, so many people lost their minds over there were some awful incidents involving squeegee kids or squeegee men,
right.
If some of them aren't really kids anymore at this point. There were some awful incidents, but we're talking, there probably aren't 500 total in the city, and there probably weren't more than a couple dozen individual incidents.
I had a horrific squeegee boy incident at a corner. It did not involve violence, but it could have.
My point is,
last summer,
right,
we had 4,000 plus kids apply to YouthWorks for jobs that were turned away.
There you go.
Because we didn't have a job for them. That's thousands of kids who wanted to
work,
be part of the system and work and do the right thing, and we weren't willing to budget the extra $1 million or $2 that it would have cost for us to make a difference in those lives. And the fact that for year after year, different mayors, when confronted with that, say, the private sector didn't step up and do its part. Budgets are ours.
Well, we've got to have
our priority.
I made a promise to your staff to get you. No, I made a promise to your staff
that
I hate keeping those, getting you there on time. Real quick, though, if you can do it just in a couple of notes, because I don't want you to get away without doing this. You just talked about funding the summer jobs. You talked about putting more money in youth development programs. You're going to be the controller. What should the city's tax structure look like? And that's a segment in itself.
Us early on that we find out your soul. Let me see your budget, and I'll tell you where your heart is.
So what do we need to do?
Right?
It's all about revenue. What do we need to do? Name that tune in one note.
In one note, it's making Baltimore City livable again. I believe if you make the city work, people will be willing to invest in it again. People invest in the city, tax base goes up,
jobs,
tax rates go down.
More jobs.
More everything. Jobs are part of the tax base going up. Jobs are an indication that people are willing to invest in the
city. So it's investment in the city, getting businesses to believe.
I reached out to a guy. I was making a fundraising call. I reached out to a guy, and I was telling him about my campaign, and he said, listen, I want you to know, I don't actually own any property in the city anymore. And I thought this was the way he was going to blow me off. And he goes, but I feel guilty about that. You know, I really love Baltimore, and I want Baltimore to work. I just haven't felt like it was a safe place to invest.
Well, give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to Mark Weller and Weller Development, putting their money where they believe it, making a difference over there, creating jobs. What should we do about the property tax rate?
I want to get the city government working right with what we have now. If we can get the city to be more efficient with the money it has, then we can talk
money
about
money saved is money earned.
Real quick, exactly. Real quick, 30 seconds. You want to be the controller. Why should people make a change? They voted for the same person for 20 years. Why should
25.
They go in this time and say, I'm voting for Councilman Bill Henry to be controller?
Because the comptroller can make a difference in making Baltimore City work more effectively. The comptroller is the person who can share information to make sure, as we were talking about earlier, that all of us can make informed decisions when we're holding other city leaders accountable. If you want openness and transparency in government, if you want that openness and transparency to lead to accountability and results, you need a comptroller who's committed to that and is willing to do that work.
I think he's got that elevator speech down. Councilman Bill Henry, off to a press conference. Good luck in
Thank
April.
You. Thank Thanks you very
didn't
much.
Didn't even take my wallet, man. Controller.
Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate having everybody out here at State Fair. Don't forget the Portales Valentine special going on out here at State Fair as well. I think Eddie Vedder's on the wall to celebrate the fact that Pearl Jam's coming to Baltimore. I'm Nestor. He's Don. We are Baltimore Positive. Back for more on WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop fixing Baltimore City.